singing all the way around.
I was trying to think. While we look tonight over in the book of Philippians, turn quickly there. We looked there this morning. I want you to turn. We'll be looking and reading another passage for tonight. All right. Verse 18 is what we'll be. Well, we'll back up about verse 17. In the book of Philippians in chapter 3, about verse 17 is where we'll begin. If you're able to stand, then do so as we look there in the chapter. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as so that you have us for an ensample. And for many walk, of whom that I have told you often, and now even tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence that we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby that he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Move upon us within us, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free as our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. In the book of Colossians over there, I'd like you to just look next door there. The next book will be Colossians. And look in chapter number 3. In chapter number 3 in Colossians, in verse number 1, verse number 2. Now, here's what he says in the passage there. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. I want to tell you something. When you look there in that passage, you'll find the next passage says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Here's what the idea is when you look at it. When you become a child of God, your conversation, your very life is now about things in heaven. I mean, I realize, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. But we're not there yet. Until then, we're busy marching and trying to stay and walk in path with Him and in step with the Lord. I want to preach a sermon entitled tonight, Earthly or Heavenly, one of the two. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, we've been reading about, you know, the Bible talks about heaven. Then the Bible talks about hell. Bible talks about life. Bible talks about death. The Bible talks about good. Bible talks about evil. Let me tell you, all of these things that we mentioned here, they're in opposition one to the other. I don't know about you, but whenever I look at it, there's something that jumps out at us off the page of it. And here's what it is. There's a lot of people that are headed different directions. You're either going up or down, you're in or out, one way or the other. Let me say to you, different people, some receive Christ, some reject Christ. That's just the way that it is and the way that it's always been, it's the way it's always going to be. But if you're a child of God tonight, you have an affection toward heaven and the things of God in heaven. In fact is, you're going to find out that whenever you look at Him, that this world that we're living in either deals with earthly things, because that's what we are dealing with, or heavenly things, which we're also dealing with if you're a child of God. Now, look in your Bible, if you will, please, over there in the book of 1 Corinthians. You don't have to lose your text, but over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see a passage over there that I think will be important to us here a little bit. If you will, please. Notice, if you will, that when we're in life, we deal with the person of God. The person is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We said this morning, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that if we abide in Him, continue in Him, then you're disciples indeed and know the Lord. If you started out and just fizzled out along the way, then what you obviously have is not real. I've had people tell me in days gone by, say, well, I'm thinking about just quitting. And here's what I say, quit. If what you got can't keep you going for the Lord, you ain't got nothing. If what you've got, you started out, and now you fizzled out, you've been nothing more than an alkyl Cecil Baptist. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. But that's going to finally run out. If look into these Bible things that we're talking about here tonight. And let me tell you, it's just hard in the day and hour we're living in. I'm glad I don't mean this for anybody here, because y'all look like pretty straight people to me, if you will. But the average Baptist preacher is so vain and so vexed and so jumping through a hula hoop backwards that he's trying to get another member. The first thing you know is there's going to be a handful of immigrants come in looking for a new girl or a new guy. Did you see that on the news where somebody at a church, this guy, before they finally caught him, an immigrant taken in, they're thrilled no doubt to get him, and he's already molested three young ladies. See that? Now let me just tell you, if that ever would have happened here and I found that out, I can tell you I'm not going to give him a gospel tract. We live in a world that somehow or another that seemed like religiously are desperate and just looking for anything. And I'm not saying anything about whoever the preacher was there. I don't even know. But here's what I do know is that you better be careful. Yes, sir. And you better watch one another. And you better know where your child's at. Yes, sir. And you better know who your child's around. Yes, sir. See? And all that business there. I don't mind, you know, if there's one of them, size Chandler, runs up and pitches me because I didn't have no green on. But she didn't. She didn't. She didn't do it. She was warning her mom, and don't be pinching old people. I thought, well, there we go. There you go. And she's pretty sharp. She said, well, who's going to be pinching them then? And you'll have to pinch each other. In the lesson that we're looking at, I just want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that we live in a world that somehow or another that is just totally is confused as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know if they're up or down, spinning one way or the other. I mean, it's just a messed up thing, and it's getting worse and worse before Jesus comes again. That Bible said that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived till the day of Jesus Christ. Why, people that I loved dearly and thought was the best have gone nuts and went off the deep end. It's pitiful. And let me say to you that no doubt about it, I mean, you expect every now and again a member to do something like that, you know. I mean, you expect every now and again some woman to be able to tell about her husband not tithing, and you know you hadn't been. I mean, you see that every now and again. All right, that's fine. But I want to tell you something, dear friend. We're living in a world that is a sex-craved world. And let me tell you right now, he is sexually assaulting these children and all that. We've been together a long time, so we don't really have to have our guard up. But let me tell you right now, I get my guard up every time somebody new comes in.
Yes, sir.
I go to watching them real closely.
Yes, sir.
You don't know where they came from, where they've been, or what they're doing next. And let me tell you, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do, is be, excuse me, unaware of what's going on with your surroundings and with your children. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you'll find that, remember over there, turn to the book of Jeremiah, if I remember right, Jeremiah, and we'll look in chapter number 2 in a moment. Remember over there in the book of Malachi, whenever he reprimanded those that were supposed to be preachers and teachers of the law, and here's what he said to them. You remember he said, you become partial in the law. Remember that? And listen, God, he's not interested in us just preaching a little bit of the Bible here, there, and yon. He's interested in us preaching the whole blessed word of the Lord. Now, the average Baptist preacher, throw me that bottle of water you're sitting on. It'll be warm by now. Thank you very much. You could have pitched it. I'm a good catcher. You've been partial in the law. Of course, a preacher, you know, the average Baptist, they don't last more than a couple of years. I mean, sometime. The reason being is that they're voted in, praised a little bit, patted on the back, booted in the tail, and run them off in about 2 years, all they can stay. Yeah, that sounds better. Let me say to you that, if you will, that it takes a while. It takes a lifetime to be able to preach a whole lot of the Bible. In this lesson that we're looking at here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2, here's what he reprimanded them for. Look, if you will, verse 5. Thus said the Lord, what iniquity, this is chapter 2, Jeremiah, verse 5. Thus said the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and walk after vanity and have become vain. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness and through the land of deserts and pits and through the land of drought and of the shadow of death and through the land that no man hath passed through and where that no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered in, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Now watch it. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. And they walked after things that do not profit. And wherefore I will plead with you, and say the Lord, with your children's children will I plead. That's enough to say and suffice to say, buddy, there's always been plenty of preachers lost and undone without God. There's always been plenty of religious-minded men and women that are lost and undone without God. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that you can't even trust the school system to have teachers that'll not molest your children or try to. Isn't that something in the day and hour that we're living in? I mean, I thought I never heard of any such thing whenever I was growing up and going to school. And let me tell you right up front is that that ought never be spoken among people of God, people that claim to be a Christian. Now, let me just tell you right up front, somebody could have known about this guy that was a rapist, a child molester, long before that they had to find out accidentally. Y'all not have to accidentally run upon a situation to be able to know somebody, something stinks in Lindberger besides cheese. In the lesson that we're looking at back over there in our text, in our Bible text over in Philippians, let me tell you right up front, you're going to find out that God said that our affection ought to be in heaven. It ought to be on things that are above and not things that are below. And make no mistake about it, is that when it's that way, the Bible said, Colossians chapter 3, I'll look at it again, verse 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, if I remember, I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians, did I not? If I didn't, I'm telling you now. And turn over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, that if you will. We're talking about earthly things and heavenly things. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, at about verse number 46, that's what we're looking at, all right? Now, he talked about the last Adam, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about the first Adam, which is Adam that was married to Eve, remember that? But now, verse 46, howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. In other words, he's talking about heavenly, that's spiritual, natural, that's earthly. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are also the earthy, and as is the heavenly, such also are the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Let me say to you that, if you will, we're dealing with two things here, is that there's the earthy, and that's what we're living in, that's what we were born in the natural world. And then there's the heavenly, that's when we got born again and washed by the blood into the family of God. And let me tell you right now, is there makes a vast difference in who you are and what you believe and so forth and on. Now, I just got two or three things that I want to give you. And the fact is, one of them's in Matthew chapter number 6. And I'll let you look there, Matthew chapter number 6. And in the passage that we'll be looking at, it's about verse number 19. And when you look at that passage there, you begin to realize, that the Bible teaches us that we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. Remember that? From 1 Corinthians, I don't know, about chapter 4, somewhere along in there. And let me tell you right now is that because that we have bear the image of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual aspect of him. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, I want you to look in verse number 19. In the passage there, and here's what he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I want you to watch that. There's a treasure tonight that we have. You know where it's at? Well, your heart. I'll tell off about that. If you love God, you love the Bible, your affections are set on things above and not things below. And let me tell you something right now, is this treasure, because we have trusted in the Lord and been born into the family of God, then as a result of that, we have a treasure that's in this earthen vessel, and by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. All right, chapter 12 of Matthew, verse number 35. Chapter number 12, Matthew, and verse number 35. In the passage that we're looking at, he says that a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart. We're talking about a treasure. Where's it at? It's in the heart. Bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Let me say to you, is that make no mistake about it, that it's a privilege to be able to have a heart that comes from God, that comes from heaven, that directs our affection and attention toward Him. It's a great thing to know that we've got a treasure on the inside of us in our heart, and that it certainly will tell off on how we live and what we speak and what we say. And out of the good treasure of a man's heart, he'll bring forth good things. All right, Matthew 19. Notice, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 19, and about verse number 2 is going to be the passage. And the Bible says, as we look into the verse 21 and 22, here's what it said. Jesus said unto them, that thou will be perfect. Go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Of course, the young man here, he had a treasure in his house. And I'll tell you, he was sad because he had great possessions. And what he had was, and that's not the way of salvation. That was just standing between him and real God-given salvation. I mean, had he gone ahead and said, yes, sir, what else? And the Lord would have said, oh, no, I didn't away. Now, listen, if you trust me and believe me with all of your heart, if God's granted you repentance and God gave you faith, you've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I want to tell you something, is that we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. In fact, I just want you to see it. It's in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, chapter 4. That's where it's at, and I forget what verse it is. But in chapter number 4, and I want you to notice, if you will, please, that it's in the passage that we're looking at, chapter 4 in 1 Corinthians. And if that's not it, it's going to be 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. So let's try that one there, and we'll see that. I don't have it pinned down, and so as we look at it. All right, verse number 3 is where we'll take up reading. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, if you're a child of God, your life bears out the gospel, because that's what snatched you as a brand from the burning. In whom the god of this world, talking about the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 7. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Look at it. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God might be of God and not of us. I got to tell you right now, when a person sees us, they see an earthy image, and when you get born again, he shines through that earthy image, that people can tell there's a difference that's been made in your heart and in your life. That's the reason why whenever many of you that are sitting here, and I would to God it was not so, but it is so, we all of us, when we got saved, we all of us have a host of lost people that are in our family. We're all burdened about it. We ask them to come to church. We've tried to witness to them as we could, and they'd get mad. They'd get angry. They'd become hostile. They don't want you talking to them about the Lord. They just want to be left alone if they possibly can. It bothers them enough that you are going regularly to the house of God. Bothers them. It shows there's a difference between what they're doing and what you're doing for the cause of Christ. I'll tell you, the difference is we have a treasure in an earthen vessel that is a spiritual heavenly mark that has God upon it, and that's what disturbs them so very badly. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to know that one day that I was born into the Anderson family, and whatever your last name is, that's the earthly image. But the day I got born again, I had the treasure from heaven that moves on the inside of my heart and that shines and outshines the earthly treasure or the earthly condition that we were physically born with. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I hope you're glad you're saved. If not, I hope you'll get saved. I recommend it totally. I recommend it totally. I asked a man one time, I said, if you died today, where do you think you'd go? Yeah. He thought a minute and he said, cemetery. I said, well, probably go to the morgue first. I mean, let's play this game if you want to. Probably go to the morgue first. Then after that, you'd be end up at the cemetery. I said, then what about after that? And he said, well, what else is there? There's an open door, buddy. See? There's an open door. Let me just tell you that, if you will, that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And when I pillow my head tonight, if I don't wake up here, I'll wake up on a street of gold. And let me tell you right up front is that it's not because of what I've done, but it's because of what he did over 2,000 years ago when he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished. And then the third day he gloriously, victoriously arose again from the grave. Do you know him tonight? Do you have such a treasure living in your heart? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon this service here this evening. We thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now bless every family represented here.